When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shit show. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have a very special shit show. We have Shit Show Karen. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Andrea.
How long have you been in the community now?
You know, I'm so bad with timelines. I think maybe a year and a half.
Wow. How did you find the podcast? Do you remember?
I don't remember exactly, but I'm always like searching things out and going down rabbit holes, and one thing will lead me to another. So I can't answer that exactly. I came across you somehow and maybe heard someone else mention you. And so I was hooked from the beginning.
I'm here, like, we be.
Here I am. Yeah. So I loved it. You have amazing guests. You're an amazing, real, vulnerable person. So I just connected and I knew I needed more of that. Took me a while to actually become an official Shit Show member. But yeah, I listened to your podcast for a good while.
So what song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Dreamer by Black Violin. This is the day when I go all the way. I'm making my
own and say, here's to the dream. Okay. What's your favorite carb?
Carb. So I've been doing no carb for a while, except for my birthday week.
Did you go all out?
I did. I had some amazing pancakes yesterday. That's one. But I love like a really good creamy mashed potato, like garlic mashed potato with lots of butter. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw in some other stuff.
Okay. Cheese.
That's a hard one because I love all cheese. Right now I have some sharp white cheddar in my fridge.
Oh, that is just the response from everyone. This white cheddar, sharp cheddar is really king. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's good to know.
I also love that caramelized onion cheddar from Trader Joe's, and I haven't been able to get one of those yet.
I haven't had that in a while. Okay, condiment?
Probably like a good aioli.
Okay. So, Karen, when did you find out that you were an adult child?
You know, I've thought about this, and I really discovered the impact of my childhood in the last 3.5 years since doing ACA, but I knew my family was dysfunctional probably in my teenage years for sure, but really came to understand it in the last 5 years.
Do you remember when you heard the term?
Yes. So I have a brother who's been in recovery for 20 plus years. And
from alcoholism or ACA?
Alcohol, drugs. Mm-hmm. And he's been clean and sober. He's an amazing guy. I think he's 20 years this November. Or maybe 21, but my mother went to, and he's in San Francisco. So our father's alcoholic. My mother went to Al-Anon, and they didn't tell her what she wanted to hear, so she didn't stay. And I knew about it from that. And then my other brother, sister-in-law was going for a while, and then Tom suggested it to me because I was supportive of him. Always.
Is that your brother?
Yeah, just before he got sober. There's a whole story around that. But anyway, he said, maybe you want to try Al-Anon. So I did. And I did that for 8 or 9 years. But I knew about ACA somehow. And I was looking into that. And I met someone at Al-Anon. And I'm like, I'm considering ACA. And she's, oh, no, you want Al-Anon. This is the right place. And I'm like, okay, maybe. But ACA wasn't close by. I went to one meeting and it just seemed weird. There was like 6 people in this dark room and they just read the red book and I didn't connect at that time. But it was like the pandemic. I went through a really bad depression. And I'm like, I was just looking for some kind of support and help, and started, you know, looking online, and then it was the Zoom boom. And so I started going to 1 to 3 ACA meetings a day.
Wow.
For 7 days a week.
Wow.
I did that for a long time. I would listen to them at work. I would do them early in the morning. Yeah.
Was it helpful?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's been very helpful. I like your group because it's just very different and unique and special group of people for sure.
Special.
And but yeah, no, it's been instrumental in my recovery. And I love the Loving Parent Guidebook because, you know, that is the solution, right? To become our own loving parent. And so I'm working on that.
Okay, so let's backtrack. Paint the picture.
All right. I am a middle child. I was the lost child. My father's alcoholic. My mother was very codependent, kind of on the, let's just say self-centered, self-absorbed, very unhappy marriage. I have an oldest brother, 7 years older. He was a severe alcoholic. He died as a result of the disease.
At what age?
I think he was around 60. And then I have an adopted brother who's 5.5 months older than me. So my parents had a second child who was born with a congenital heart defect, and she died at 18 months.
Mm.
So that was a big trauma. And then I think that they were Catholic. I think they were just going to have as many babies as God gave them, you know, so to speak. And I think she couldn't get pregnant. She may have had a miscarriage. So they decided to adopt. And I think before that was even finalized, she was pregnant with me. So my dad was an amateur photographer. I have this picture of her, like 9 months pregnant with me, holding Tim, and he's 5 months. But I've discovered a lot about the dynamics around that, like our relationship, his and mine, and like myself. I don't know. There's just some interesting things around there. I don't know if you want to delve into that, but.
Sure, let's hear it.
Well, he was a very different personality. Like he's type A, I'm type B.
So you guys in the same grade?
Same grade in school. So we always had to answer the question, are you twins? No, I'm adopted. So I think he always had some resentment towards me. So mm-hmm. In the past couple of years, I was talking to, she was a mental health professional, but she was adopted herself. And so I was talking about this a little bit with her. And she said, no, he probably had some abandonment issues. If he came to them at about 3 months, 3 or 4 months, what was his early infant?
Exactly.
And then I always had this feeling, and I was actually talking to Carrie about this, but I always had this feeling that I wasn't really needed or wanted because they got him. And then I was kind of like, oh, well, now we're going to have another baby. And I felt like they had to give him a lot of attention because he was adopted, make mm-hmm. him feel, you know, wanted and secure. And I don't know. I think there's some truth to that. Maybe I can't ever say for sure, but there was always competition. Like he had something to prove always. And he bullied me. He was abusive. And I can see now what an adult child, you know, the insecurity. And I can see things from his perspective to some degree. Of course, not completely. But we don't talk. We've been estranged since our mom passed.
Wow. And
things got kind of ugly around all that. You deal with the trust and money.
And then you have a younger sibling than you?
And then my brother Thomas, the one in San Francisco. He and I were close.
How many years younger is he than you?
He's 3 years younger.
Okay.
I think there was a miscarriage before he was born. I know for sure there was a miscarriage before he was born. But another interesting thing with my brother, Tim, is like we competed over Thomas. Like if I wanted to play with Thomas, Tim had to come and say, no, he's coming to play with me. Mm. And there was this weird kind of dynamic with that. You know, there was a lot of control and he had to be in charge and all of that.
Do you remember finding out about your father's alcoholism? What was your awareness of that?
Yeah, well, he developed it as a young adult and he was alcoholic and he didn't always take good care of himself. He was insulin dependent. And of course, drinking and alcoholism don't go together, or diabetes don't go together. So he would have reactions and then my mom would have to take care of it. I remember it was always sugar and orange juice. And then it wasn't like openly talked about, but he was cold. He was very cold. And I think maybe his father was an alcoholic. He was not affectionate, very distant. He was a workaholic too. So he was gone a lot. And then the marriage was very unhealthy. When I was in high school, my oldest brother moved out and he moved up to his bedroom. So he would be there, come home to sleep. And that was about it. And actually, this is kind of a big childhood event. They wouldn't talk. I don't remember them ever having like a normal conversation where they talked to each other. I just remember yelling and then there was no conversation. But I think I was in junior high and they were yelling and arguing. And I can't believe I said this because I would never have felt like it was okay. But I said, would you just shut up? And I went and slammed the door of my bedroom. Mm. And after that, my mom just stopped talking to him. But another little interesting.
Really?
Yeah. She stopped talking to her own father at age 14 and wouldn't acknowledge him. When we went to visit, it was like he wasn't there. She wouldn't look at him, acknowledge him in any way. So I don't know what that, I'll never know what that was about. But yeah, long story short, that was, I think I always kind of knew, but it wasn't openly talked about that until I was maybe in high school that I really knew, or maybe younger, probably junior high.
And what was your relationship like with your mom?
She was very, like I said, self-absorbed. She was a music teacher. She and both her sisters got music degrees. My paternal grandfather taught himself to play violin through a correspondence course. And he was a dairy farmer, small dairy farmer. So they went to school. They all got music degrees. And then she taught in school for a while when they were first married. And then she taught music lessons after school. And we all had to learn how to play an instrument, which I really appreciate now, having that appreciation, like for classical music. She was a voice major. She had an amazing, beautiful voice. So anytime I hear Ave Maria now, it makes me cry. Wow. Because she would sing that, and she really did have a beautiful voice. But it was all, there was so much control. It was like, what I like, you know, it was like, do it. And she was raised in a farm. So we were, you would think she'd want to get away from that, because my father made a good salary. We lived in a town outside of New York City when I was a kid, and then at age 9 we moved to Northern Illinois. But she always wanted animals and a big garden, and she loved to cook and garden and can and do all that kind of stuff. She was kind of like a organic farmer back in the 70s when that first was a thing. And but it was like we had to do chores always, like go out. It was like we were workers. She raised us like she was raised. She had to go out and milk cows with two sisters and work in the fields and all that stuff. And it was like, that's how, you know, there was never like, what are you interested in? What do you care about? What do you want to do? Or there was physical abuse, you know, punishment that was real physical abuse.
So from your dad?
From both.
From both.
And so I think I was like just getting in after elementary school, getting into grade school. I mean, I had to go to school with a mark across my neck and explain, like, what happened to your neck? And I had to make up a story about it. So I knew that wasn't normal. I knew that wasn't normal. But there was so much shame around it, you know. I'm now at 60 years old trying to figure out who I am. And I'm starting to learn who I am. But I didn't, you know, it was the whole, the don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. So I shut down. I learned how to shut down and avoid and hide from a very young age. And there's so much alcoholism in my family, my three brothers, all of them, and my father. But I found reading at a young age. So that was my escape always, you know, to read. And as soon as I could go to the library, I'd be coming home with a stack of books. And so, yeah, and I was like, no, I never felt like I really fit in. And, you know, I had some friends. You know, junior high years were hard. Junior high years were probably the hardest. Like my seventh and eighth grade year is just like
so hard for everyone. God.
Yeah, it's a hard time. It's a hard time, hard age to be.
How old were you when you said you moved to Illinois? 12?
9.
And then you stayed there through the high school years?
Yeah. And that's interesting because when we moved there, you know, we were cool because we were from New York and this was the Midwest and everybody wanted to be my friend. And then there was this clicky little group that somebody was the head of. This girl was like the head of this group. She decided that I wasn't cool after all. So nobody's going to like Karen now. So that's kind of where that started. Because in New York, I never felt like that. I didn't fit in. I felt, you know, like I was a part of. But then after that, I never felt like I was really a part of anything.
So then what did you do when you graduated high school?
Well, this is how uninvolved my parents were. Like, my parents were going through a divorce when I was like 16.
Was it really ugly?
Ugly in a sense. I just tried to remove myself from it. And I was working. I started working at 14. And they were kind of separate but living together. But she was just so angry and bitter. And yeah, so I remember him coming into my room one night and saying, so you should go to college. So go sign up for college. My mother never said anything. And so I went to the county college and I was 17. I moved out right before my 18th birthday. He paid for college. Then I started dating somebody 7 years older than me and I got pregnant. And so that's I don't know who that person was when I think about her now. But I mean, I do, but I don't. Then he went to tell his parents and they were all like, okay, when are you getting married? And they started planning a wedding and all of that. And my mother did say, you don't have to get married. And then she said that to my mother-in-law, well, they don't have to get married. And from then on, she didn't like my mom. But they were like a normal family. In my mind, they were normal. Like they had parties and dinners and they celebrated each other's birthdays and they got together and went out to eat and did all those things that my family never did. So I was more attracted to that. Oh, this is, I can have a family kind of now. I think that was in my unconscious somewhat. So then I had my daughter and then two years later, I had my son. And then 3.5 years later, I left. We divorced. And that, yeah, that was not a healthy relationship, but so I don't have any regrets. I have 2 great children.
How long were y'all guys married?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Okay. Was that your first like real relationship?
Yeah. I dated a 26-year-old when I was 16. I thought that was a real relationship.
More like a, oh God, like a dad.
I was 17. Let me make that sound a little bit better.
You were such a baby, though. How old were you when you had your
first? I was 22 with a 3.5 and a 1.5-year-old. And then I moved out of state because my ex wanted to get back together and didn't want to take no for an answer. And I was like, too little, too late. This, we're done. And I couldn't stay in that small town. And so it was his parents who actually said, I think now, first they're like, when are you getting married? And then they said, now I think it's time for you to get a divorce. So anyway, yeah, I moved to Ohio where I have family and a cousin. And I was just a little older than me that I was close to. And she was supportive. So I got a job as a cocktail waitress. And then I went to nursing school. And I bought a house there. And then when they were 12 and 14, we moved back to the area where my family and my ex's family was. So
I can't imagine being that young. Oh my God.
I was such a baby. I didn't know I was a baby, but I was a freaking baby.
Were you just disconnected from it? Or do you remember having thoughts of like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing?
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ADULTCHILD for 15% off today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? So Katherine Heigl, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she's seen more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health, their food. So what she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. But fortunately, she has found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformation in their health. And she has made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, y'all know I'm a cat lady. Y'all know that Kiki is the real, the queen of the shit show here. But I watched this video and there's actually some things that I can apply to her health. So hopefully she'll live another 15 years or so. So go to badlandsfood.com/adultchild and watch Catherine's video. Again, that is badlandsfood.com/adultchild.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I had like a nervous breakdown. So I moved into this house in an upstairs apartment in a not very nice neighborhood in Akron, Ohio.
The birthplace of AA.
Yes, exactly. And then it was like, now what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to take care of myself and these, you know, two babies? And yeah, I went through and I remember calling my mom. Like, there was two times when I called my mom and I thought maybe she could be a mom to me. Like, I was just in that desperate, like, I need that connection. I need her. Maybe she can do that. And I wanted it so bad. And that was one time I did it then. And she said, you're just homesick. There was no support there. And then it was later after I moved. I got the house and we moved in there. I had like a really bad day and I called her and I started to tell her about it. And she just immediately started talking about herself. Like I was her sounding board. She would call, I would call to check in. And Andrea, I could put the phone down, go to the bathroom, come back, pick the phone up, go wash the dishes. She didn't know I was gone. Talking about how bad my brothers were and how bad, you know, talking about her friends and these people I didn't even know and stuff that was happening. Just bitching, honestly. And it was toxic. And I finally was going like, I can't do it anymore. So I stopped, started making excuses, got off the phone. Yeah, we weren't estranged, but I didn't have too much contact with her for a long time.
It's interesting. Like, so your older brother dies from alcoholism. And then it's interesting because your adopted brother also becomes an alcoholic is what I'm gathering.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting? Nature versus nurture. Who knows what his biological background was, you know?
Was there ever a discussion with you like this is in your genetics and like, if you drink, it's not going to go well for you?
No. I mean, in my family, was there a discussion? No, there was no discussion. My brother had a pickup truck in the... So he graduated from high school in 1975. He would drive that truck around and drink and throw his beer cans. The bed of the truck was full of empty beer cans. That was the day you got pulled over by the police and you were drunk. They would say, you go home now and go to bed. You know, that's what that era was like. It's crazy to think of it now.
Did you ever drink much?
No, I never had that compulsion. I mean, I have drunk to excess at times when I was younger. You know, I partied some here and there. But then, you know, I had kids when I was 19. You know, I had my first kid. I was 19. And then, you know, I just never had.
So then did you date much after you got divorced?
Not really. A few very short-term boyfriends. One for maybe about a year. He was definitely an alcoholic. I met him when I was cocktail waitressing. Yeah, I went for a long stretch, like without dating anybody, like 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I have not had much luck in that department, I will say. Even in the past 10 years or so, like my last relationship, I look at it now and I can see exactly. I mean, I kind of knew what I was doing, what was wrong, but yeah, I think I was kind of love bombed in the beginning. And then I was chasing that high, you know, for a while and knew it was not going to change. But I kept thinking, well, maybe.
So then what made you hit your bottom to join Al-Anon?
Well, I have struggled with depression, I think, since I was even a preteen. And so now I understand the origin of that and the why of that. But yeah, I was in a long-term relationship that I lived with this person. And then my brother, talking to my brother again. And I think I did some research because I'm always doing research. This is a disease of relationships or, you know, perception, all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, that could probably help me. So then I started going and I did learn a lot in that program. But to understand the whole dysfunction and where it comes from and, you know, why how I couldn't have turned out. When I learned, you could not have turned out any differently. When I read that, it was like, that was such a relief to me. Because it's not my fault, you know? And this whole, like, my coach helped me to see there's nothing inherently wrong with you because it was always there's something wrong with me and I shouldn't feel this way, you know, like with the depression, I should be able to pull myself out of this, you know? It's just such a downward spiral. And then, you know, just the shame. There's just all the toxic shame that built up over the years. And I couldn't really see it or look at it until I started doing the ACA work and hearing other people share. And I am always like so incredibly impressed with people who are so brave and courageous and raw and vulnerable, because that's still very hard for me. I mean, this is going so much better than I would have thought, because I was like,
you're just talking to me.
Shit. I'm doing it. I'm just talking to you. So, yeah, I mean, it's just now I recognize it like right away. I think almost 100% of the time, you know, that's a shame-based thought. That's a, you know, so I'm able to flip it most of the time.
How do you feel like it showed up in your parenting? And do you want to talk about what it's looked like trying to repair relationships with your kids?
You know, that was, so I was on a pink cloud at an ACA for a good while. And then I started learning all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the shame overwhelmed me because I'm like, I always felt like I fucked up my kids in some ways. I would say they turned out so well in spite of me, you know.
But how present was their dad?
Not. He had some mental health issues. And so after the divorce, there was distance. And then he went through some personal struggles and he wasn't involved until they were like teenagers. And then he wanted to come back in their lives and just like, here I am, I'm dad now, you know, and it doesn't work that way. And he didn't really get it, but now he's involved and we have, I guess it's kind of a co-parenting relationship, even though they're both like full grown adults. But like, he took me out to brunch for my birthday, you know, he calls and tells me what he's doing. And we don't have this friendship or anything like that, but he tries, he does the best he can. But he just really doesn't have the capacity to understand, you know, like I would never talk to him about, you know, family dysfunction or anything like that, you know.
Did he ever get remarried?
No.
No. So how do the relationships differ between with your son and your daughter? Or you have two daughters, sorry. Two daughters.
No, I have a son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my daughter's the oldest and then my son is 2 years younger. They're very different personalities. They're both really smart. He's really sweet. He's doing really well. He's married. He lives in Ohio. They both ended up going back to Ohio to go to school and live there for a while. My daughter has struggled with a lot of things. And, you know, I hesitate to share a lot about that. But, you know, she's had her struggle. She's been sober for 10 plus years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And she worked really hard. No program. She's like...
Did she struggle as a teenager?
Yeah. She had like social anxiety in grade school even. And when I look back at it, I think, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I did do the best that I could at the time. And I'm still working on forgiving myself because I don't know that I was a good enough parent. Maybe I was, but my best wasn't good enough in my opinion. I mean, I wish I had been better.
Well, you were a child.
Yeah.
Are you able to have compassion for yourself there?
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, that's been a long time coming. But yeah. No, because of my daughter's struggles, I took that on. She blamed me and then I blamed me. It was all my fault. But I knew intellectually that wasn't true, but it's hard to separate. It's getting better. You know, have to let her take the lead and I'm just trying to be, I can be a, you know, she's giving me another chance to be a better mother, a better person. So we're starting from now. Yeah, she wants me to come and see her for Thanksgiving. So I booked it and then I had to cancel it and then I rebooked it. So I'm going to see her, going to Brooklyn for Thanksgiving for just 2 nights. But
how many years?
That's happening. Yeah.
How long has it been since you've seen her?
10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, my son got married. Austin got married in 2014. And then I saw her at his place that Christmas that year. And then that's been the last time. So it's going to be like a 10-year. Yeah.
Do they have a relationship?
They had a rocky relationship for a while. And then, yeah. And then they got really close. They were both in Ohio. So I always encourage them to be there for each other and support each other. And they did that. And it was rocky again not too long ago, but I think they're coming back together. And yeah, I think all this had to happen, as crazy as that might sound, all this had to happen because like Simone getting sober and everything she's gone through, it was the impetus for me to really work on myself. Because one of the last conversations we had, she was angry and I was telling her something I did, and I think what I said was misconstrued, and she was angry, and I just said, what can I do? What can I do? And she said, you can work on yourself. Mm-hmm. So I really took that to heart, and I told her, I wrote that to her in a letter. I said, I'm doing that, and I thank you.
Had you reached out in a while, or was it like a complete surprise?
So she reached out, and she was not in a good place, and I felt at the time that she wanted something she needed to ask for it, and I just asked her if she was okay, if she was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was. And I said, I'm here and I'll always be here. And then there was some time in between that. And she started texting a little bit. And then she called me on Mother's Day this year and we talked for 3 hours. And it was like, I have my daughter. This is my daughter. And it was like so surreal. And it just was beautiful. And we just talked and we just all different kinds of things, but nothing serious, nothing like, I still feel like there's a lot, I have a lot to say that I want to convey to her. But like I said, she has to let me know when she's open to receiving it. That's how I feel, that I've tried to let her know the best way I could in the past. And I think she knows, I really believe she knows that, I want the best for her. I just want her to be happy and safe and secure and stable and all those things.
Well, I remember when you came onto group after having that conversation with her and just allowing, and I don't know if it was that conversation or another one that you guys had, but just allowing her the space to say what she needed to say.
Yeah. Yeah, that was huge. And I think that was definitely, I was guided to just be there and listen. Be there for her. Just listen. Just be a loving presence. That's what she needs from you. I can't control anything. I can't fix anything. So I have done a lot of praying and asking for guidance. And I think, like I said, it as hard as and painful as it's been, it had to happen this way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's on her own path and I'm on mine. And so I feel like, now the paths are converging and we can come together again.
I would love for you to share about the experience that you have with your friend, because I think that was pretty huge.
Yeah, I've done a lot of thinking about that. And yeah, that was a big lesson and I'm still learning from it. Yeah, when you asked me, you asked me a question a while back, like as far as my personal growth, it was that just like how I would hide and avoid confrontation and just, I'm an INFJ, which is the rarest personality type, and we are known to be like door slammers. We will give people the benefit of the doubt forever, and then there'll be a point when like just shut the door, slam the door, and then nothing. And that's where I was kind of, but then I had all this recovery and I was like, you really helped me with that. And just I knew you have to confront this. You just have to be honest about how you feel and let her know.
It had to do with birthday plans, right? What was it?
Yeah, it was her idea. I'm going to come visit you. Maybe I could come for your birthday. And I'm like, yeah, that would be great. Let's do it. And so we kept planning and talking about it. And I had all these different things. I said, we could do this or that, or, we don't have to do a lot of things. It's just be time. Mm-hmm. Great to spend time together. And it was just started to be like, well, I don't know, because of this and that and this and that. And it took me, then in retrospect, when I think about it, it's like she was giving you all these clues and you were not picking up on them, that for whatever reason, she wanted to come, but there was all these different fears. And, the things I learned from the conversation, make me feel bad for the situation that she's in. She doesn't have as much recovery as I thought she did.
Yeah, because I was curious, how did you end up approaching it? Like, what did you end up saying to her? And I, we don't even
I just said, you know, I just, you were instrumental because what you said something about, maybe you could just tell her, you know, I feel uncomfortable, but there's some things I feel like I want to say to you. And so that's how I started it. Mm-hmm. And then she started to say something and I said, I would like it if you could just let me finish. And then I'd love to hear what you have to say, but I want to finish. So she allowed it. And then she shared, you know, what she shared. And I think the relationship dynamic is different now. I mean, I think we can still be a support to each other and, and work through the workbook and stuff like that. But it is different. And I'm still processing, you know, what that looks like for me and how I feel about it.
Well, I think it was huge that it sounded like you had the conversation, then you met the next day. So it obviously was received well enough.
Yeah, then we met the next day. But she knew, like, the energy was off, you know. She knew there was some awkwardness there. And she wasn't brave enough to bring it up. And so I am patting myself on the back because I didn't want to do it, but I knew I really should. And I did it and it wasn't that hard. So I can do hard things. And so now I will take that with me in the future. And if I have to have a difficult conversation, just remember, as uncomfortable as it may be, in the end, it's so worth it.
What do you think are some of the most important things that you've learned about yourself over the past year?
That I can have a good life, that I can, you know, I can create a life that I want, and it doesn't have to be this grand. It's not about having, you know, a beautiful house and a lot of things, but I can be happy and secure and stable and enjoy life because I've been feeling, you know, those glimmers of things. Just I can get through a whole day and just feel not just content, but happy. And I used to be like, I can settle for content. I'm just content. That's okay. I'll take that. But I can be happy. And, you know, maybe at 60, well, now I'm 61. I have to remind myself. But I can maybe have a dating relationship again. I don't know. I'm still working on the relationship with me. So I don't even, that's not even on my radar. I don't really care. But, you know, a lot of good things have happened. And just recognizing that I built a business. I have taken care of myself since I was 17 years old, you know, I had a brief marriage. But I have never given myself credit for that.
No kidding.
And I have enough. I have enough. I am enough. I do enough. And I think it's just going to get better from here. It's crazy roller coaster ride. And I'm just going to buckle in.
Yeah, buckle up, baby. Buckle up.
Yeah.
And what about like a relationship with a higher power? Was that present?
Yeah, no, that's been a struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised Catholic and that's a whole other kind of weird dysfunctional thing as far as how it was, you know. But yeah, I'm feeling like I do feel connected at times, like I can make contact. It's definitely a practice, in my view. It's a practice. It's you know, like these little, I started this thing like when something amazing happens or I feel there was some divine intervention or I got some kind of guidance, I write it on a piece of paper and I put it in a jar. And after New Year's, I'm going to just like randomly pull out pieces of paper. Like if I, you know, I had the difficult conversation, I stood up for myself. I, you know, did something with my business that was felt scary or whatever. And I did the thing and I'm writing it down. So I am giving myself recognition where I didn't used to do that ever, you know, really. Self-validation, you know, instead of looking for it from outside.
Exactly. So, okay, give me three things that you like about yourself.
I'm curious and I want to heal and I won't stop. I won't give up on myself.
Okay, hope or dream for the future?
To really feel secure.
Woo! Yeah, me too, girl. Just that really, really, really strong, unwavering sense of self.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll say, I want to know who I am, but you know, I'm learning and that's going to take the rest of my life. And I've come a long way, baby.
You have. You have. What you holding on to?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.